Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Quad Cities River Bandits are back in action in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, ready to continue their six-game series against the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the High A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. Good Thursday evening, everybody. Kyle Kirchville joining you tonight on the River Bandits Baseball Network for Game 36 of the Bandits' 2024 season and Game 3 of their six-game set against the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Well, the first two games for the Colonels have gone quite well. For the Bandits, not so much. They have dropped the first two on Tuesday, a 6-5 extra inning heartbreaker, and yesterday, their third shutout defeat of the year. Cedar Rapids blanked them 3-0 behind a career day for Andrew Morris, the Twins' number 18 prospect, through seven scoreless innings, allowing just one hit with no walks while striking out six. After his seven innings, it was arguably the best reliever in the league who came in for relief. It was Ricardo Velez, who threw two scoreless, stranded three base runners, and struck out four. So with the loss, Quad Cities not only fell to 19-16, four games back of the Midwest League West Division lead, but they have also dropped four straight ball games for the first time since August of 2023. The Bandits had put up three different three-game losing streaks throughout this summer, but yesterday marked the first time that they've lost four straight here in 2024. Offensively, the Bandits obviously didn't do a whole lot. Just three total hits in the game and four total base runners for a season low. Guys who did have a hit, Jack Pineda, Carson Rockefort, and Jared Dickey. The latter of those driving in, or rather picking up a one-out double in the eighth inning for Quad City's only extra base hit. Otherwise, the Bandits brought just three men into scoring position. Quad City's went 0-for-5 with runners at second and or third, and obviously didn't get anything going against neither Morris or Velez. On the hill for the Bandits, they were treated to the third quality start of the season and the second in as many appearances. The right-hander Ben Kuderna, Kansas City's number three prospect, through six innings, gave up just three runs with five strikeouts, but unfortunately no run support coming out of that third base dugout. A.J. Block kept the deficit at three for Quad Cities over the final two innings of the game. He finished off the contest with two perfect innings and three strikeouts. So once again, some more terrific pitching from Quad Cities. They'll look to get the bats going here on a beautiful Thursday evening in Cedar Rapids. Let's go ahead and jump into the starting lineups for Game 3 of this six-game series and also check out the starting pitching matchup. First, the lineup card for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the high-A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. They enter the ball game today second in the Midwest League West Division and just 2.5 games back of first-place Wisconsin. Leading off, it's the designated hitter Luke Keyshaw. Batting second, the left fielder is Ricardo Olivar. And batting third, the third baseman, Rubel Cespedes. Batting fourth, it's the shortstop, Jay Harry. Agustin Ruiz will bat fifth and play right field. And batting sixth, the second baseman and switch hitter, Jose Salas. Batting seventh, it'll be the first baseman, Keone Cavaco, who makes his first appearance of the week. Batting eighth, the center fielder, Willie Joe Gary Jr. And batting ninth, the catcher is Nate Baez. On the mound for the Colonels, it's the 22-year-old righty from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, John Klein, ready to make his seventh appearance and seventh start of the year for the Twins High A affiliate. He grew up in Brooklyn Park, which is just 15 minutes north of Target Field. He went to hundreds of Twins games as a youngster, and now he's spending his first season as a member of their High A affiliate. This year, he's 2-0 with a 3.80 ERA, 21 strikeouts, and 23 and two-thirds innings. He's looking to right the ship after working just 5 outs last week against South Bend. He gave up 3 runs in an inning and two-thirds. Now the starting lineup for the River Bandits, the high-A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. They entered today 4 games back of the division-leading Timber Rattlers, and they have lost 4 straight ball games. Leading off for Brooks Conrad's squad, it's the second baseman, Jack Pineda. Carson Rockefort will again bat second and man his usual center. While batting third, it's the catcher, Carter Jensen. Brett Squires is your cleanup man, batting fourth and playing first base. Cale Emshoff hits fifth and is the DH. And batting sixth, it's the left fielder, Spencer Nivens. Trevor Werner will slide down to the seventh spot, the third baseman looking to snap out of a cold streak. Batting eighth, the right fielder, Jared Dickey. And batting ninth, the shortstop, is Dustin Dickerson. On the mound for Quad Cities, it's their 23-year-old right-hander from San Jose, California, Steven Zoback. Zoback, the Royals' number 23 prospect, now in his second year with the High A affiliate. He's gotten off to a really good start here in 2024, 2-1 with a 3.21 ERA in 28 innings. He's got 22 strikeouts to 8 walks and is coming off of one of his better performances of the year. He earned his second win of the season against Wisconsin last week in Davenport. Gave up just 1 run on a solo homer with 3 total hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts in a 5-inning start. This will be his second career start against the Colonels, his first of 2024, and he's looking to lead the Bandits to their first win at Veterans Memorial Stadium this year. Time for tonight's national anthem. We'll pause for that. When we come back, we'll close down the River Bandits pregame show and get Game 3 of this six-game series underway live on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
And now join us as we honor America with our national anthem. Being performed for us tonight by Forte Choir from Bowman Woods Elementary.
Yeah.
River Bandits baseball is back on the air tonight for the third time this season at Rise to Greatness Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium as the Bandits continue their six-game series against the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the High A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. Once again, good Thursday evening, everybody. Kyle Kirchvill joining you here in the broadcast booth at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Pleasure to have you along with us for game three of this six-game series and the 36th game of Quad Cities 2024 campaign. The Bandits still in the mix for that top spot in the Midwest League West Division. However, riding back-to-back-to-back-to-back losses, Quad Cities is four games behind the division-leading Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, who lead the way at 23-12, Quad Cities at 19-16. The Colonels have won three straight, and tonight they look to guarantee themselves a split of this week's six-game series. Quad Cities looking to right the ship against John Klein, the 22-year-old righty and former Iowa Central Community College product over in Fort Dodge. Top third of the order for the Bandits today, Jack Pineda, Carson Rockefort, and Carter Jensen. Three of the four straight lefties to start the card for Brooks Conrad. Second baseman Jack Pineda in the box. Klein out of the wind on the slab. First pitch on the way. It's a called strike on the outer edge. And it's 0-1 on Pineda. Your official first pitch time tonight. 6:35, right on time. Klein's 0-1 pitch. A slider diving in the dirt, and Pineda swings over the top of it for strike two. Pineda now leading off for the third time this season and for the second time this week. Jack has been swinging it well for Quad Cities lately, having raised his batting average by 24 points here in the month of May. Klein's 0-2 pitch. Fastball up and away. One ball, two strikes on the year. Pineda batting 257. He's riding a five-game hit streak in an eight-game on-base streak. Here's the 1-2. Slider low and inside. Count evens at twos. Left to right in the outfield grass today. Olivar, Gary Jr., and Ruiz for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Up the middle, Harry's at short. Salas at second base. Cespedes at third. Cavaco at first. Baez behind the plate. Here's the 2-2 to Jack Pineda. Fastball up and away. And after falling behind, no balls, two strikes, Jack's worked the count full to start the ball game. Cedar Rapids back in the alternate reds today with Quad Cities back in the road grays. Payoff pitch. Slider called. Strike three. Upper outside corner. Jack tossed the bat aside and now shakes his head as he strolls back to the third base dugout. So Pineda strikes out to begin the game just as he did yesterday. John Klein with his first K, number 22 on the season in now 24 total innings. Now the left-handed bat of Carson Rockefort, the center fielder. First pitch fastball above the belt, 1-0. Rockefort on the year, batting just over the Mendoza line at 201. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Fastball, that one clips the top half of the zone, 1-1. To begin the year, and really up until the beginning of this series, he had been the everyday leadoff man for QC, 1-1. Called strike, outer half, and also towards the top half of the zone. One ball, two strikes, Rockefort will ask for time. Rocco, though, providing a good amount of pop, just working on getting that average up to where he hopes it would be. Here's the 1-2 from Klein. Fastball bounced towards second base. Salas with a backhand pickup throws to first. Rockefort sprinting down the line beats it out. It'll be an infield single for Carson Rockefort, and the Bandits get their first base runner of the game here in the first. That was not a particularly hard hit baseball. Jose Salas had to range a decent ways up the middle. Made a good backhanded stop and did all he could to shift his momentum the opposite direction, but couldn't get enough mustard on the throw. And Rocco's aboard for Carter Jensen, the Quad Cities catcher. Third baseman Cespedes playing in a touch. First pitch is up and away. Rafael Pineda is the home plate umpire tonight, while Tatum Littleton is on the base paths. Pineda, back in the series opener on Tuesday, wore a fastball straight to the mask, but he's been good to go the rest of the way. Cavaco holds Rockeford at first, 1-0. Slider low and inside, 2 balls, no strikes. As I was mentioning during the pregame show, Klein is trying to turn things around after a bumpy start last week against the South Bend Cubs. Only completed an inning and two-thirds, but threw 42 pitches and surrendering 3 runs. 2-0. High, 3 balls, no strikes. Well, Jensen more than happy to take his base. He is still your Midwest League leader with 33 walks. Nobody else in the league has even 30. 3-0. Jensen swings away, comes up empty on a 92-mile-per-hour fastball. Even though Jensen is fine taking a walk, he's been very aggressive in 3-0 counts this year, swinging about 99% of the time. 3-1. Swings away again, and he comes up empty. Another fastball, and Klein has worked the count full. Jensen will use his timeout, step out of the home plate area, and adjust his batting gloves. Just getting underway here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Top of the first inning, man at first, and one out. Carter Jensen in a full count battle with John Klein. Right-hander peeks over at Rocco, sets at the belt. Pitch clock down to 3. He fires, runner takes off, pitches inside, and it's ball 4. Rockeford pulls into second base, and down to first goes Jensen. So for Carter, that snaps one of his colder stretches of the season. Last night's 0 for 4. And he gets on, along with Rockeford now in scoring position for Brett Squires. Already some early traffic against Klein. Right-hander kicks and fires. And Squires pops it up. This is on the left side, but it will push into the seats. Cespedes gave it a brief look, but it's now a souvenir for a youngster in his Colonel's jersey. Squires now has the highest batting average for Quad Cities at .303. Jensen, without a hit the last couple of games, has fallen below .300, but still in the .290s. 0-1. Slider hit towards center field. Gary Jr. into the right center alley, makes the catch. Rockeford runs back to second base and doesn't have a chance to tag. It is the second out here in the top of the first. Now, Bandits hitting coach Ryan Powers most certainly will give Squires a pat on the back for that one. And sure enough, he is demonstratively nodding his head as Brett comes back in and gets a fist bump from many a Bandit. A good swing, just wrong place, wrong time. So now Quad Cities will turn to their DH, Kale Emshoff, the first right-handed batter to face Klein. 2 outs, runners at first and second. First pitch, shanked foul over the right side. Kale back in the lineup for the first time since Tuesday. Went 1 for 5 in the game with an RBI single. That was a bases-loaded infield single in the first inning, which gave Quad Cities its first lead of the series. Here's the 0-1. Low and inside with a changeup at 84. Game number 19 for Kale Emshoff this season. He hits .246 with a homer, 12 RBIs, and a .680 OPS. Nobody holding Rockeford at second base. Klein looks that way. Now the 1-1 slider is well outside. Good stop from Baez. 2 balls and 1 strike. For Kale Emshoff, it's game number 216 as a River Bandit. He's played more than any other Royals farmhand as a member of the Quad Cities River Bandits. 2-1, fouled over the right side. Squared up a little bit better, but still well out of play. And it's 2-2. The Bandits have struggled with 2 outs and runners in scoring position this year, hitting just .183. In that scenario, Rockeford at second base, Jensen still at first. Klein looking for his second strikeout and to end the inning. 2-2. called strike three, top of the zone with a 93-mile-per-hour heater. So Klein strands a couple of first-inning base runners. He bookends the zero with a pair of Ks. And now Steven Zoback will head out to the hill. Quad City starter making his sixth start of the year. And he will take over in a scoreless game. Bottom of one coming up next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
After being shut out in a 3-0 loss yesterday, Quad Cities gets a couple of first-inning base runners, but John Klein strands them both, and Steven Zoback takes over on the hill to start the bottom of the first inning. Zoback, 23 years old, the Royals' number 23 prospect per MLB Pipeline. He's now in his second season as a member of QC, a former fourth-round pick out of Cal back in 2022, Cal Berkeley to be specific. Right-hander stands at 6'2", 200 pounds, and will start his day off against Luke Keyshaw, the DH. First pitch, a called strike lower inside corner, the fastball at 93. It's on the lower end of things for Zoback. We've seen him get as high as 97 with a four-seamer this year. Here's the 0-1. Another fastball, that one low and inside. One ball, one strike. Now Keyshaw, an RBI on a sac fly. A single and a stolen base atop the order for Brian Dinkelman yesterday. Here comes the 1-1. Fastball up and away. 2-1 on Keyshaw. Defensively for Quad Cities, it's Rockefeller in center field, flanked by Nivens in left, Dickey in right field. Zoback's ready for the 2-1. Right-hander. Kicks and deals. Wave and a miss. Great slider. And it's two balls, two strikes. Dickerson's at shortstop, Pineda across the way at second. Warner is at third, Squires at first. Carter Jensen doing the catching. 2-2. Fastball up and in. A check swing from Keyshaw, who's claiming the ball hit him on the arm. Catch made by Jensen. And Rafael Pineda, despite Keyshaw's campaigning, says it's ball three. So full count, the former ASU Sun Devil taps the bat on the plate and is ready to go. Payoff pitch. Breaking ball, hit in the air, shallow right field. Sprinting in, Dickey, he's not going to get there. It lands next to the line for a single with Keyshaw holding at first base. Well, that's a bloop knock. That was a pitch probably low and outside. Keyshaw just got it off the end of the bat and plopped it into the grass. Not a bad pitch from Zoback, but Keyshaw now owns an 11-game on-base streak and provides the Colonels with a leadoff base runner in the first. Now Zoback facing Ricardo Olivar. First pitch up and in. Olivar, a catcher on the roster, but he's getting the start in center field today. In left field, I beg your pardon. A throw to first base. He's leaning. Not in time. Throw from Zoback a little bit to Squires' left. So he had to reach out to snag the ball before then trying to whip his arm all the way across. And that extra moment gave Keyshaw a chance to dive back safely. Zoback throws there again. Another close play. And this time they get him. Keyshaw flirted with fire one too many times. And Steven Zoback picks off the leadoff man. 12th guy picked for Quad Cities this season, the first for Steven Zoback. So no need to worry about that double play now. Here's the 1-0, and Olivar sends it towards the left field corner. Nivens has to play it off the wall. It goes banging off the fence, rolling towards shortstop, and it's going to be an easy stand-up double for Olivar. Well, how big was that picked-off runner now? Well, Olivar continues to have a really good series and a really good month of May. That's his first double in the month, but on the season at number 7. So a man in scoring position with one out for Rubel Cespedes, the left-handed hitting third baseman. Out of the stretch, Zoback deals. This ball fouled over the third base side onto the concourse. Now you never want to have men in scoring position for Cespedes. He has driven in a league-high 35 this year, and he's only played in now 33 games, if you include tonight. Zoback looks back towards Olivar. 0-1. Split finger changeup just outside. 1-1. It's a simple three-pitch mix for Zoback. The fastball, the slider, and the aforementioned splitter. But he makes those three pitches work really well together. The split finger is one of the best I've seen. 1-1. Line drive, foul. Over the third base side once more. 1-2. Zoback's strikeout numbers kind of quiet in his outing last week against Wisconsin. He had just 2 in 5 innings, but only surrendered 6 total base runners and 3 hits. And most importantly, only gave up 1 run. He will step off the back of the rubber as plate umpire Rafael Pineda comes out and says that Zoback took too long to pitch. It's a pitch clock violation, an automatic ball, and now a 2-2 count on Rubel. The pitch. In the air, left side, towards the tarp, chasing over Werner, but he'll watch it land onto the berm. Bunch of children go sprinting towards that concrete wall. One comes up with it. The others, none too pleased. I think you'll have some more opportunities, don't worry. Bottom of the first here in Cedar Rapids, Quad Cities and Colonels. Still just getting underway. Scoreless ball game, but the Colonels threatening. Another 2-2 from Zoback. Caught him looking. Strike 3 on the inner half. 94 with a fastball. Big strikeout for Steven Zoback. That puts out number 2 on the board. And he'll face another lefty in the shortstop, Jay Harry. A strikeout of Cespedes. Not something that happens very often. Just his 28th in 33 games this year. Harry, the hero for the Colonels on Tuesday. First pitch to him tonight. Low and outside with the changeup. Harry in the series opener with the walk-off RBI double in the bottom of the 10th inning to give the Colonels a 1-0 lead in the series. A .224 average on the year. He takes a slider, low and in. It's 2-0. Harry has showcased some defensive versatility this week. In that series opener on Tuesday, he played center field. Yesterday, started in left, moved to short, and now he starts at short today. Here's a 2-0 fastball from Zoback. It's on the lower outside corner for a called strike 1. Not too often, though, regardless of what level, are you going to see somebody defensively switch from left field to shortstop, and Harry pulled that off well yesterday. Olivar still at second base, 2-1. Fastball through the right side, it's base hit. Brian Dinkelman's going to send Olivar to the plate. Dickey up with the baseball. He bobbles it, now fires it towards second base. Olivar scores, and it's an RBI single for Jay Harry in a 1-0 Colonels lead. Got a fastball in the lower inside corner and poked it past Squires. Jared Dickey tried to pick the baseball up and keep his momentum going forward, but he didn't grab it cleanly on the first attempt. Olivar was probably going to score anyways, but the bobble ensured that there'd be no play. That's the third hit in the inning for the Colonels as Agustin Ruiz steps in and takes Lowen outside. For Jay Harry, RBI number 15 this season. And his second of the series, went 0-for-3 yesterday. But off to a good start tonight. 1-0. Called strike. Fastball on the inner half. Count evens at 1 on Ruiz. He has been one of the hottest hitters in the Midwest League. Going on 3 weeks now. He has reached in 20 consecutive ball games. It's the longest active mark in the league. 1-1 outside. 2 balls, 1 strike. He is still a few games short of the longest on-base streak for a Midwest League hitter this year. That was set by Yohendrik Piñango a couple of weeks ago, the outfielder for South Bend. 2-1. Change up low, 3 balls, 1 strike. Piñango just got the call up to Double-A Tennessee, but his streak had ended before he was promoted. That mark, 25 games. Ruiz just 5 away. 3-1. Popped him up, but out of play over the netting. 3 balls, 1 strike. Rather a full count on Ruiz. On the year, a 259 hitter. 2 homers, 17 driven in. Colonels with a man at first and 2 outs. Zoback trying to put a stop to this early inning rally. 3-2. Pulled over the fence on the first base side. Over the fence of the first base dugout, I should say. Well, Colonels have made Zoback throw quite a few pitches here in the first inning. In fact, both starters needed 20-plus tosses to get through the opening frame. The difference is Quad Cities had no runs and 1 hit. Colonels have 1 run and 3 hits. 3-2 pitch, fouled into the screen, and Ruiz continues to battle. Jay Harry, of course, getting the head start over at first with a full count and 2 outs. He's already run the distance to second base twice. But Ruiz continues to foul him off. Zobie takes a deep breath, setting at the belt. Another payoff. That's high, ball 4. The slider got away. So Harry can relax as he approaches second base. And the Colonels have 4 first inning base runners. And still 2 men with 2 outs for Jose Salas. And before Zoback will face him, the Bandits pitching coach, Derek Lewis, will go out to the bump. It's rare to see Zoback struggle like this. He is one of the most efficient pitchers in not just the Midwest League, but all of High A. And for evidence, look no further than his April 19th performance against Peoria. He earned his first win of the season at Modern Woodman Park. He threw 6 scoreless innings, gave up just 1 hit, didn't walk anybody, and struck out 6, and needed just 59 pitches to do so. 6 innings, 59 pitches, and 46 of those were a strike. He threw just 13 balls the entire game. Colonels, though, making him work a lot more than that here in Game 3 of this series. Derek Lewis back in the dugout. Jose Salas to the plate, batting left-handed. Switch hitter fouls went into the screen for strike 1. Harry at second base, Ruiz at first. Colonels with a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first. Salas on the year, just a 214 hitter, but he's got knocks in 4 straight games, including a single yesterday. A 1. Fouled into the screen, nothing in 2. Zoback gets himself into the driver's seat early. And will try to strike out a former top prospect in the Miami Marlins system. Traded to Minnesota last year, but remaining in the Midwest League, going from the Sky Carp to the Colonels. Zoback's 0-2. Hit well, but foul. Pulled over the blue roofing on the right side. Protecting that far first base side of the concourse. Still plenty of sun to work with this evening. First pitch temperature 74 degrees. A very slight wind blowing towards right field. Squires, though, shielding his eyes over at first. 0-2. Just low and outside. A great 2-strike pitch. Zoback almost painted it perfectly. Zoback will try again. Another look to second. Here's the 1-2. Pulled on the ground to first base. Snagged on one hop by Squires. He tripped momentarily, but recovers and steps on the bag to end the inning. So the Colonels strike for a run and four total base runners in the first frame. They lead 1-0, going to 2 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Rapids strikes first in game three of this six-game set. They've already taken the first two, and with a win today would already guarantee themselves a split of the week-long series. Quad Cities will send 6, 7, and 8 to the plate against John Klein, looking to tie it up here in the top of two. Spencer Nivens gets us started with John Klein, of course, still on the bump. First pitch. Fastball at the top of the zone, a called strike. Talked with Spencer a little bit during batting practice today. He's thrilled to be back with the team after sustaining a hamstring injury against West Michigan during the second week of the year. 0-1 ripped well towards right field. Ruiz back, reaching out, makes the catch. The wind or something, maybe the top spin, sort of drove that ball towards the ground. Ruiz makes the catch and there's one away. Good swing though from Nivens. Got a lot of topspin on that one. Like a tennis shot over the net. So one out, nobody on for Trevor Werner. Right on right against John Klein. First pitch. Slider a bit inside and maybe a touch up. 1-0. Now for Werner, he moved down in the order to the 5 spot yesterday. 1-0. Fastball, a strike on the inner half, 1-1. Today he makes his debut in the 7 hole. And it's third baseman, the number 19 prospect in the Royals organization per MLB Pipeline. Klein delivers the 1-1. Wave and a miss, good slider, and it's 1-2. Trying to get through the week. Werner, 3-for-46 in the month. Right-hander kicks and fires. Wave and a miss. Strike 3. Got him swinging. That's 4 straight outs for Klein going back to the first inning. And now Jared Dickey, the left-handed hitting right fielder. Dickey with a 6-game on base streak. Doesn't really matter where you put him in the order this season. He seems to come through. First pitch, hit well towards left field, a line drive towards Olivar, but a few steps in helps to make the catch and end the inning. So after throwing over 20 pitches to get through the first frame, John Klein retires Quad Cities with a 1-2-3 second. Colonels remain up 1-0, bottom of 2 next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. Set to begin the bottom of the second here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Quad Cities and Cedar Rapids doing battle for the third time this week. Steven Zobak's first pitch to Keone Cavaco is hit well to left center field, but playable for Carson Rockefort. One pitch, one out to start the home half of the frame. Now both starting pitchers had to labor in some way, shape, or form through the first inning, but Sean Klein retires QC in order during the last half inning, and now Steven Zobak has a one pitch out. Now he faces the left-handed hitting center fielder, Willie Joe Gary Jr. First pitch. Hit in the air, left side. This is popped up in the infield. Trevor Werner calling off Dustin Dickerson, makes the catch over at third base. That's another quick out for Zobak. So two pitches, two outs. And up comes Nate Baez, the right-handed hitting catcher. Dollars to donuts, he is not going to be swinging at this pitch. Zobak delivers. And it's a slider down the middle for strike one. One of those where Zobak could probably throw whatever he wanted to. He could underhand it up there at 30 miles per hour, and they wouldn't swing. A one. He's swinging this time. It's bounced to third, bobbled by Warner. He picks it up, but has no throw. Now that looks like it's going to be the second error of the series for usually the very sure-handed Trevor Werner. Miss cue number two for him on the season. And that continues the inning for Luke Keyshaw. So almost a four-pitch frame for Zobak. Instead, he'll have to focus back in as Keyshaw swings away first pitch. It's deep right center field. Rockefort in front of the video board on the warning track reaches up and makes the catch. All right, a five-pitch inning. Not so bad. Nothing comes of the two-out error, and Quad Cities is headed right back to the plate for the top of the third. Colonels up 1-0 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
after the first inning took almost 40 pitches to get through, actually over 40 innings to get through. The second frame tonight, just 12. Top of the third getting started. Bandits still trailing the Colonels 1-0. Nine-hole hitter Dustin Dickerson leads it off against John Klein. First pitch, a called strike in the lower inside corner. The little slider at 84. Dickerson, and then the top of the order in Pineda and Rockefeller due up. Dustin in the ninth spot after hitting seventh yesterday. First pitch, correction, second pitch, a called strike on the outer edge. Two balls and two strikes. Dickerson has been working his average up. He's hitting .238 on the season, but he's reached safely in five straight games. 0-2, breaking ball, pounded on the ground to third. A two-hopper gloved by Cespedes. Long throw to first in time to get Dickerson. Really nice play by Rubel. He was hugging the line a little bit initially, kind of semi-shifted for the right-handed batter. But still, he had to range a few steps to his right, and by the time he was ready to throw, his right foot was just in front of the chalk. So one out, nobody aboard for Jack Pineda. Left-handed hitting second baseman takes the strike right at the top of the zone, a slider at 83. Pineda down looking in the first inning, the first of three Ks on the ball game for Klein. 0-1. Fastball just away, close but no cigar. 1-1. John Klein in his first full year with Cedar Rapids. He made just one appearance for the Colonels last summer. Spent most of the year in single-A Fort Myers. 1-1. Fouled over the left side. 1-2 on Jack Pineda. With the Mighty Muscles last season, Klein made six starts and posted a .297 ERA. 30 strikeouts in just over 30 innings. A whip of 1.02. Pineda back in the box. Klein back on the rubber. 1-2. Got him swinging. Another great slider. And another strikeout of Jack Pineda. That's six straight outs recorded by John Klein. And it brings up Carson Rockefeller. Two away, and the base is clear for the Bandits center fielder. Rocco gave them their first base runner of the game with a one-out single in the first, but he was left in scoring position when the inning ended. First pitch to him this frame, a fastball at 93, a called strike on the outside edge. Klein again working quickly, the pitch. Called strike, lower inside corner, a little short slider at 88. And Rockefeller will ask for time. So it looks like Klein has really settled in. And now Rafael Pineda, the home plate umpire, exchanging words with somebody in the Bandits dugout, and he just threw out Ryan Powers, the hitting coach. Ryan goes sprinting out to talk with Rafael Pineda. He's got his arms out pleading, and here comes Brooks Conrad from the third base coach's box. Ryan Powers not holding back against the home plate umpire. Brooks Conrad has his arms out saying, what did he do? And Powers very animated, now taking his discussion to Tatum Littleton, the field umpire. Brooks still has his hands up, very confused as to what's going on. Well, that'll be the second ejection this year for Quad Cities, the first of hitting coach Ryan Powers. He's ejected by plate umpire Rafael Pineda with two outs in the top of the third. Powers is still pleading with Tatum Littleton. Brooks wrapped up his conversation with Pineda, and Littleton will escort Powers off the field. Well, Ryan was ejected one time last season, but that was in the second half of the year. He gets the May 16th ejection this season. And now we can resume action. Back down the first baseline goes Tatum Littleton. Pineda with the mask on behind the plate. Here's the 0-2 to Rockefeller. Check swing on a breaking ball. Pitch low and inside. He didn't go. Littleton confirms ball one on the appeal. Powers clearly said something to get Pineda's attention really quickly. He ripped off the mask, looked over there, and started pointing at him. Powers responded, and boom, see you later. 1-2. Slider hit in the air, left center field and shallow. Ranging over, Willie Joe Gary Jr. He waves off Olivar and makes the catch. Inning over. Back-to-back, perfect frames for John Klein. He's retired 8 in a row, and Quad Cities remains down 1-0. Bottom of 3 next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
River Bandits retired in that third inning. Dickerson, Pineda, Rockefeller in order by John Klein. And Quad City's hitting coach retired by plate umpire Rafael Pineda, who ejected Powers for arguing balls and strikes or saying something from the third base dugout. Ricardo Olivar leads off the inning against Steven Zoback. First pitch, a called strike. Second pitch, a bit low. The slider at 86, count 1-1. On the two-hole hitting left fielder. Zoback kicks and fires. Breaking ball again, and a swing and a miss. 1-2. Zoback threw over 20 pitches to get through the first inning, but then needed just 5 to get through the second. Would have been 4 had Trevor Werner not made the error on a ground ball hit by Nate Baez to keep the inning going. But on the very next pitch, Luke Keyshaw flew out. 1-2. Pulled foul off the Bandits dugout. Zoback, a former Cal product, he and John Klein share something in common. They both began their baseball careers as catchers. 1-2. Pulled foul again to the left side, this time handled by third base coach and Colonel Skipper Brian Dinkelman. Zoback was a catcher growing up, playing Little League, and in high school. Never in his mind did he think he'd become a pitcher. 1-2. Fastball left up at 92. Eventually, he made his way to Cal to play his college ball and became a two-way guy there, first picking up the baseball on the mound, but also playing in the outfield. 2-2. That hit him. Olivar plunked on the left arm, and he drops the bat and goes running around the home plate area in some obvious pain, pinning his left wrist behind his back and now crouching down behind home. He drops to a knee. And out comes the lead athletic trainer for the Colonels, Tyler Blair. Brian Dinkelman will run over as well. Obviously, no intent on that one. Zoback got a two-strike pitch, or threw a two-strike pitch that got away. Olivar might have just got one on the funny bone. Hopefully one of those that's just a stinger with no real damage aside from maybe a bruise. He is still crouched down behind home, right next to the CR logo painted in the grass. A couple of positive nods from the coaching staff. And now Olivar will get up on both feet and walk his way down to first base while stretching out his left arm. Zoback taking a couple of practice tosses as Olivar eventually reaches base. So after getting the leadoff hitter into a two-strike count, Colonels get a man on with nobody out against Zoback. Steven now facing a string of three straight lefties through the heart of this order, beginning with Rubel Cespedes. First pitch pulled foul to the right side into the Colonels' bullpen. Cespedes on the year, 322 with the average, 5 homers, 35 driven in, and a 972 OPS. He was the Midwest League Player of the Week for April, and he pretty much ran away with that award, a la Christian Encarnacion Strand, who was here with the Colonels a couple years ago. So back, pauses at the belt, 0-1. Wave and a miss. Big hack from Cespedes, but he comes up with air, nothing in two. Zoback caught him looking with a really good pitch on the inner half in the first inning. Let's see if he goes back to that area again or tries something else ahead in the count 0-2. Double play, depth of the Bandits infield. Dickerson near the bag. 0-2. In the dirt, gets away from Jensen. He quickly hurries to it on the right side of the home plate area, and Olivar stays at first base. It's 1-0 Colonels in the bottom of the third inning. They've got three hits in the game. All of those came to score the run in the first inning. Jay Harry got the RBI with a single through the right side. Now the 1-2 to Cespedes. Ground ball, second base. Pineda's got it. Flip to Dickerson for one. Over to Squires, a double play. A tailor-made 4-6-3 twin killing. And for the Bandits, double play number 28 on the season. Nope, I was right. 35 on the year, I beg your pardon. So that brings up Jay Harry. Bases cleared, two outs. First pitch swing and he fouls one into the screen. Rubel Cespedes off for an 0-for-2 start today with a backwards K and a double play ball. 0-1. Swing and a miss. Great split finger from Zoback. Nothing in two. Harry with the aforementioned RBI single his last time up. Awaits the 0-2. The pitch lined into left center field. It's going to drop for a base hit. Two hops into the glove of Rockefort. And Jay Harry has a 2-for-2 start to the day. Both of his hits coming with two outs. So that will keep this inning going for Zoback. His pitch count right at an even 50 as he faces Agustin Ruiz, the left-handed hitting right fielder who extended his league best active on base streak with a walk in the first. Swinging away here, he fouls one off the top of the suites area that ricochets down into the seating bowl. During this on base streak, it's not like Ruiz has just been kind of sneaking his way aboard. He's been very productive. 0-1. Wave and a miss. Good breaking ball. Nothing at 2. Sometimes when you see these long on base streaks, you look at the average during the stretch, and it's only like something in the mid-250s. But not the case for Ruiz. He's sitting in the low 300s. 0-2, runner takes off. Pitch drilled deep to right field. Home run distance, if it is fair. Hooking, and foul. Plate umpire Rafael Pineda waited until that ball had dripped pretty much below the fence line and down the hill beyond right field. No arguments, though, from Brian Dinkelman in that first base dugout. A loud foul ball, and so back goes back to work. Another 0-2. Another fly ball right field. This one definitely fair and definitely playable for Jared Dickey. Just a few steps back, he hauls it in, and that ends the frame. So Steven Zoback plunks a man and gives up a two-out single. But with a double play ball, he is safely through the third. And we go to the fourth. Quad City still trailing 1-0 on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931. But it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
The first third of tonight's ball game, it's the Cedar Rapids Colonels with a 1-0 lead over Quad Cities. Colonels looking to guarantee a split of this six-game series and win their fourth game in a row. For the Bandits, they have lost four straight, and they are trying to snap this skid and pick up their first win in Cedar Rapids since 2023. In this inning, they'll have the right part of the order due up to try to get something going against John Klein. Jensen, Squires, and Emshoff, the 3-5 hitters. Klein ready to go. Jensen takes his time to get into the box. Now the first pitch. Fouled into the screen, strike one. Jensen, a walk back in the first inning, which moved his season total to a league best 34 in just 36 games. 0-1 from John Klein. Fastball just outside, 1-1. During the last inning, I was mentioning that both Klein and Quad City starter Steven Zoback began their baseball lives as catchers, but eventually transitioned into starting pitchers. 1-1. Ground ball slowly hit to Salas. It jammed Jensen, and an easy toss to first retires him for out number one. Now for Klein. Grew up as a catcher, but then played his college ball over at Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge. And there he was coached by now Colonels pitching coach, Jonas Lovin. Jonas has been with the Colonels for a couple of years now. One out, base is clear for Squires. Brett takes the slider inside. I mentioned that John spent most of last year with Fort Myers but made one appearance for the Colonels. 1-0, popped in the air, right center field and shallow. Willie Joe Gary Jr. charging in, makes the catch. Squires flies out to center for the second time today. Klein made one appearance in the regular season for the Colonels, but then made an appearance in the postseason through 2 2/3 in game two of the Midwest League Championship Series against the Great Lakes Loons. Of course, Colonels would go on to win the title. Here's Cale Emshoff. He swings away and sends one to center field as well. Another routine catch for Willie Joe Gary Jr. and another routine inning for John Klein. He has retired the side in order over the last three innings and is now set down 11 consecutive River Bandits. Bottom of the fourth next here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. It's still 1-0 Cedar Rapids.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. John Klein has settled in nicely for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. The Bandit starter, Steven Zoback, gave up one run in the first inning, but since then, zeros. He'll get Jose Salas, the switch-hitting second baseman, to begin the home half of the fourth. Batting left-handed, he will take the first pitch outside. Ball one. Salas, Cavaco, Gary Jr. due up. Switch hitter, righty, lefty. 1-0. Fly ball, right center field and shallow. Long run for the second baseman, Pineda. Incoming, Rockefort, and he makes the catch just in front of Dickey and then hits the ground. Not because he needed to make the catch, but mostly because I think he was avoiding Jared Dickey, who was also converging. One of those Bermuda Triangle fly balls where three guys are going to try to go for it. Jack, the second baseman, gave up pretty quickly. And Rockefort takes charge as the center fielder. So one down, nobody aboard for Keone Cavaco. First pitch, slider on the edge, called strike one. Cavaco now in his second season with the Colonels, spent all of last year in the Midwest League. He chops the 0-1 over to third base. Nice stop, Werner, spinning throw to first. He gets the out. Really nice maneuvering by the big third baseman. Werner with an uncharacteristic error in the second inning, this time ranging to his left. Stabs the ball on the hop, spins around and makes a nice throw to Brett Squires. Gary Jr. swinging at the first pitch slider, falls behind 0-1. Willie, a pop-up to Werner his first time. Zoback delivers. That's in the dirt. Pitch count for Steven now over 60. It's 61 pitches, 43 strikes. He deals. High fly, left center field, but routine for Carson Rockefort. He settles underneath it, makes the catch, and that is a clean fourth inning for Steven Zoback. He and John Klein easily maneuver their way through the frame. And we remain at a 1-0 score. Colonels on top, fifth inning next on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com. Or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Top of five at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonel starter John Klein back out there, looking to continue his string of 11 straight Bandits retired. He'll get it going against Spencer Nivens here in the away half of the fifth, and Spence swings through an elevated fastball for strike one. The last Bandits base runner came with one out in the first inning when Carter Jensen drew a walk. Since then, nothing but outs. 0-1. Fastball comes inside, and Spencer leans out of the way. Nivens is the newest River Bandit in MLB Pipeline's top 30 Royals prospect rankings. Checks right in at number 30. Here's the 1-1. Slider missed inside. So with Nivens being recognized now as a top 30 prospect, both the Bandits and the Colonels have 9 of their organizational top 30s per the publication. 2-1. Fly it over the left side, foul. It's 2-2. Bandits started with 8 top 30 prospects this year, the most for a break camp roster in their history as a Royals affiliate. So going back to 2021, the year of the High A Central. 2-2. Slider, a bit low. Good take by Nivens, and the count full. Spencer flew out to right field his first time up, but hit the ball hard. Klein has his sign. Payoff pitch on the way. Fly ball, left field and deep. Back goes Olivar. Onto the track. He reaches out and makes the catch. Man, another really good swing from Spencer Nivens, but it finds the glove of an outfielder. This time Spence goes the opposite way, but Olivar tracks it down. Make it 12 straight retired for John Klein. 22-year-old right-hander, an undrafted free agent picked up by the Colonels in 2022. First pitch to Werner. Swing and a miss on the slider. Klein finished up his college career and then signed with the Twins after an appearance in the Northwoods League All-Star Game back in 2022. 0-1. Check swing. Pitch outside. No swing. Klein pitched 2 years in the Summer Collegiate Northwoods League. Pitched for the Wilmar Stingers. They're over in, you guessed it, Minnesota. 1-1. Wave and a miss. Good slider. And it's 1-2 on Trevor. Gotta imagine Minnesota's organization has plenty of set of eyes on that Northwoods League, just like the Boston Red Sox keep very close tabs on the Cape Cod Baseball League. Summer college ball, some of the best you can find anywhere. 1-2 to Werner. Swing and a miss. He tripled up on the slider. Werner down on strikes for the second time. It's number 5 for John Klein. So a lucky 13 in a row retired. And he has truly just been on cruise control since the final outs in the first. Now facing the left-handed hitting right fielder, Jared Dickey. First pitch. Fastball down the middle, a called strike. Jared flew out to left field his first time up. He's reached base in 6 straight games for QC. Klein delivers. Fouled into the screen, a good cut, but it's 0-2. During the 6-game stretch, Dickey has worked 5 walks to 4 strikeouts and has an on-base percentage of 522. His OBP on the year, 367. Deep breath from Klein, 0-2. Check swing, got him looking. Strike 3, fastball, outer edge, inning over. John Klein is dominating here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Quad Cities has not had a base runner since the first. They trail 1-0. Bottom of 5 next on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Was the case yesterday. We've been treated to a couple of really good starts here in Cedar Rapids. Colonels and Bandits in a 1-0 game. Cedar Rapids on top. Steven Zobak versus John Klein, the matchup. Zobie's given up the only run. That was back in the first inning. Since then, he's put up 3 straight zeros as Nate Baez fouls off the first pitch. Colonels have 9-1-2. Two up against the former Cal Golden Bear. Baez reached on an error back in the second inning, but did not score. A one. Ripped into the glove of Warner over a third base. He snags it just above the dirt. Rafael Pineda holds up a fist. A nice swing from Baez, but it's to the hot corner. And Warner, of course, always ready over there. He makes up for the mistake to allow Baez reaching earlier. And that turns the lineup card back to the DH. Leadoff man Luke Keyshaw, 1-for-2 with a single tonight. Right on, right against Steven Zobak. First pitch. Low and inside, ball one. A battle between a couple of former Pac-12 standouts. Zobak at Cal, Luke Keyshaw at Arizona State. Here's the 1-0. Breaking ball, missed in. Keyshaw taken by the Minnesota Twins in the second round of last year's draft. Played in just a handful of games for the Colonels to wrap up last year. He was on their break camp roster this year. 2-0. Called strike. 93 on the outside edge. Obviously, you can't put too much stock in a in-ballpark radar gun. But Zobak has been 93-94 today with the fastball. The pitch. Foul to the left side off Keyshaw's foot. He'll walk it off as the count moves to 2-2. Pitch count for Zobie closing in on 70. He's thrown 67 pitches, 47 for a strike, per usual, filling up the zone. Looking for just his second strikeout, though, as the 2-2 is popped up on the right side. First baseman Brett Squires called off by Jack Pineda. He makes a step onto the outfield grass and hauls it in for the out. So now Zobak quietly putting together a string of outs. He's retired 5 straight. And up comes one of 2 Colonels to reach twice in the game. The left fielder Ricardo Olivar and the Twins number 22 prospect. Olivar a double off the left field wall in the first. He was then hit by a pitch in a 2-strike count his last time up. First toss from Zobak. It's fouled off his foot. And Olivar again in some more pain. Falling backwards, Carter Jensen tried to make sure he didn't hit the ground. He never did, but Olivar is walking it off to the left of the home plate area. And somebody get this guy an ice pack. First, the hit by pitch on the left elbow. Now the foul ball off of his right foot. Home plate umpire Rafael Pineda giving him as much time as he needs. Olivar still stretching out his left arm. Thank goodness he is playing left field today and not doing the catching. Otherwise, that would be a brutal night at the office. He's back in the box. So back, so one. Grounded weakly to third base. An awkward swing. Warner picks it up, fires over, and that ends the inning. So Steven Zobak has given up just 1 run through 5 innings. He has retired 7 in a row. Make that 8 in a row. And now he's looking for the bats to give him some run support. Colonels up 1-0. Top of 6 next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
City's back to the plate to start the sixth inning. They trail the Colonels 1-0 here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. John Klein back to work. First pitch to Dustin Dickerson, a called strike one. Klein has retired 14 straight Bandits. He's got 6 strikeouts in the game, and he has not allowed a base runner since the first. Out of the wind, here's the 0-1 to the shortstop. Change up at the knees, a called strike two. I was talking a little bit about it during the broadcast yesterday, but Quad City's bats have been really, really slow against starting pitching in particular. Here's the 0-2. Breaking ball, flared foul into the bleachers on the right side. So I went back and counted. Over Quad City's last 5 games, including their 5 innings against John Klein tonight, the Bandits have scored just 4 runs against the opposing team's starter. And all 4 of those came 2 nights ago. 0-2. Popped in the air, right side of the infield. First baseman Keone Cavaco called off by Salas. Second baseman makes the catch. It's now 15 straight retired by John Klein. But if you go through the games, yesterday, 7 shutout innings from Andrew Morris. Then on Tuesday, the aforementioned 4 runs scored against Miguel Angel Boatis. But you kind of need to put an asterisk next to that because the Bandits struck out 9 times in 5 innings against him. Here's Jack Pineda. He squares to bunt, pulls back. It's outside. But 4 runs against a starter's 5 innings, you'll absolutely take that. You go back to the series finale against Wisconsin last week. Edwin Jimenez threw 6 scoreless innings. Here's the 1-0. Wave and a miss. Good slider near the feet. 1-1. And then you go back to the penultimate game of the series against the Timber Rattlers last Saturday, and that's when Alexander Corniel threw 7 shutout innings. Bandits would be shut out in that game 2-0. So Quad Cities has scored just 4 runs in their last 30 innings against the opposing starting pitcher, and they've been shut out twice in their last 5 games. Pineda chops one over to second. Salas gloves, flip to first. Easy play. 2 gone. Not only is Klein retiring all these guys consecutively, but he's doing it with so few pitches. Just 67 tosses to get through 5 2/3. Steven Zoback has been very efficient for Quad Cities. 70 pitches to get through 5. But the 1 run he gave up in the first, currently the difference. Here's Carson Rockefort. He takes a fastball outside. Nobody with a man warming up in the bullpen. Ryan Ramsey is the scheduled piggyback starter for Quad Cities today. 1-0. Fastball, a strike at the knees. 1-1. This is usually around the time when Ramsey would get up, start throwing, and kind of regardless of where Zoback was at, get ready to come in for the sixth. But that doesn't look to be the case tonight. 1-1. Fastball outside. It's 2-1. Rockefort has the only hit for Quad Cities, a single back in the first. He got to second base after Jensen walked with one out, but then both were stranded as Klein retired Squires and Emshoff. 2-1, chopped on the ground to first base, gloved by Cavaco, a race to the bag, won by the Cedar Rapids Colonels. And for John Klein, that is 17 straight outs recorded. The Bandits go quietly yet again. To the bottom of six we go at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Still 1-0 Colonels on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Quad Cities has yet to figure out the Colonel starter, John Klein. Bandits bats have just four hits over their last 15 innings and have not scored during that stretch. Colonels lead 1-0 in Game 3 of the series tonight. Zoback faces Rubel Cespedes to begin the home half of the sixth. First pitch is low for ball one. Well, potentially some good news for Quad Cities. Cedar Rapids has gotten a right-hander up in the first base bullpen. 1-0. Called strike, lower outside corner, 1-1. On the Bandits' half of the diamond, the aforementioned Ryan Ramsey has picked up a baseball. The pitch. Driven well, center field. Rockefort turns, slowly backpedals, and now makes the catch. A good swing from Cespedes, but he is off to an 0-for-3 start tonight. First a strikeout and a double play ball, and now an F8. So Zoback, not to be outdone, has retired 8 in a row. The only man he is not retired tonight. At the plate, left-handed hitting Jay Harry. First pitch, slow roller to the right side. Tough pickup, Squires. He's got it. Flip to Zoback, covering. He's out! A bang-bang play at first. And the former two-way stud able to get the speedy Jay Harry for the second out. Really nice work by both Squires and Zoback. Brett had to charge and move towards his right. Picked it up with the glove and kind of cross-body flipped Zoback. He was on his horse trying to get to first. And he wins the race against the utility guy. So now Ruiz at the plate. He'll take ball one. Zoback one out away from completing his second quality start of the season. The Bandits second in as many nights, and their ninth on the year. 1-0, high 2-0. It's these starts that you just hate to see the bats struggle in the way they have. Starting pitching has given Quad Cities a chance in both of the last two ball games. Here's a 2-0 strike on the outer edge. And if Zoback completes this inning, he'll have given up just one run over his last 11. The pitch. Fly ball, right center field. Again, playable for Carson Rockefort. He waves off Jared Dickey, makes the catch in the right center alley, and ends the frame. Steven Zoback shines in the second half. Really the final two-thirds of his start. He retires 10 in a row and will likely be done after six innings of one-run ball. Quad Cities Bats facing a new pitcher for the first time tonight. Colonel's reliever coming in. We'll tell you all about him when we come back for the top of the seventh on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with the events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Treated to another fantastic start this time tonight. It was John Klein who went six scoreless innings, and he will be replaced by the newly inserted right-hander Jacob Wyszynski here in the top of the seventh, but not before Rafael Pineda examines the glove of the reliever and motions towards the first base dugout. I believe Pineda is saying the glove is too light. I don't think we're running into a sticky stuff situation here. Pineda just saying that glove is too light to be used by a pitcher. Brian Dinkelman talking things over with him right now, showing him the glove, saying, yeah, he's used this for 10 games. What's the problem now? Wyszynski, though, does find a new glove eventually. Someone tosses him a black mitt from the dugout. And he will work his way back out to the hill as Brian Dinkelman ponders in disbelief as he goes back towards the Colonel's bench with glove in hand. So now Wyszynski will take over, making his 11th appearance of the year, all of them out of the bullpen for the Colonels. Jensen, Squires, Emshoff do up for the Bandits. Jensen, first pitch swinging, sends one deep to center. Gary Jr. into the alley in left center, makes the catch right in front of the warning track. And that cavernous outfield once again helps pick up and out. We were talking about it yesterday. You've got dead center 400 feet away. But then on the left and right, 407 and 403 respectively. And Jensen hit it towards the 407 marker. So one pitch, one out for Wyszynski. That is now 17 straight batters retired. As Brett Squires squares to bunt to the first pitch. But then pulls back, taking strike one. The Colonel's defense shifted heavily to the right, playing Squires to pull. So he was trying to catch Cespedes snapping with a little small ball, but never laid one down. A one pitch, skips in the dirt, 1-1. Colonels with a 1-0 lead in the top of the seventh. Quad Cities suffered a 3-0 shutout loss yesterday, amassing just four base runners. Today they've picked up two base runners and been shut out through six. 1-1. Slider. Just missed the back door, 2-1. In his 10 previous appearances this year, Wyszynski's been good, 0-1 with a 3.32 ERA in 19 innings. A whip right at 1 and an opponent batting average of 197. A 2-1 swing from Squires, but he doinks it back behind home. Count evens at 2s. Brett has hit two baseballs hard today, but both wound up fly balls in the glove of Willie Joe Gary Jr., the Colonel's center fielder. Wyszynski's 2-2. Fly ball, left field, and shallow. Olivar jogging in, now puts on the brakes, and makes a two-handed catch right at the chest for the second out. Back-to-back F7s in your scorecard. Wyszynski good on the year. Again, the 3.32 ERA, but he's been really good in the month of May. He's allowed just one earned run in his first 8 2/3 innings this month, including the two outs today. He now goes right on right against Kale Emshoff. First pitch, wave and a miss. That was a 92-mile-per-hour fastball. Wazinski, a tall glass of water out there, 6'8", 220, and hailing from Grand Rapids, Michigan. A one. Slider poked foul towards the Bandits dugout. Played on the ricochet by A.J. Block, who's got the bullpen protective duties tonight. Speaking of the bullpen, Ryan Ramsey is continuing to throw for Quad Cities. He got up midway through the last half inning and will likely be taking over in the top of the seventh, or the bottom of the seventh, rather, for Steven Zoback. Here's an 0-2 slider and a swing and a miss from Emshoff. Strike three. Quad Cities has gone down in order in their last six innings. Colonels lead 1-0. Time to stretch at Veterans Memorial Stadium. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
It's Ryan Ramsey who will toe the rubber for the Bandits in the bottom of the seventh. Switch hitting Jose Salas will swing at his first offering and poke it foul on the right side, just out of the reach of Brett Squires, the first baseman. It bounces in the seating bowl for strike one. Ryan Ramsey taking over for Steven Zoback, who retired 10 straight to conclude his second quality start of the year. Here's the 0-1 to Salas. Fastball popped in the air, shallow center field. This one barely going to leave the infield. Second baseman Jack Pineda makes the catch. And Salas is retired for the third time tonight. Ryan Ramsey has been really good for the Bandits in kind of a Swiss Army situation for Quad Cities. Now, it's always a long relief situation, but sometimes he's the first man out of the bullpen, sometimes the second. And sometimes he's the starter. First pitch to Keone Cavaco, a big breaking ball in for strike one. Ramsey's made now seven appearances for Quad Cities, one start, and posted a 2.25 ERA. Cavaco grounds one weakly to the shortstop. Dickerson gloves, throws to first, and a nice stretch from Squires helps beat Cavaco for the second out. Not a particularly hard hit ball. Dickerson had zero margin for error on the transfer to his throwing hands. He got it off cleanly, and Squires puts a little length in the catch for out number two. Ramsey last week threw four shutout innings against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. Now facing Willie Joe Gary Jr. left on left. The lefty misses outside. A former Maryland product over at College Park. Ramsey's 1-0. Fastball on the outer edge, called strike one. He's 23 years old. and a 13th round pick out of Maryland back in 2022. The pitch. Low and outside with a changeup. 2-1. Gary Jr. 0 for 2 with a pop-up and a fly ball today. Colonels have only struck out one time, but they only have one run. 2-1. Strike on the lower outside corner. Hitter didn't like the call, but it's 2-2. So for Steven Zoback, he goes six innings. Allows one run on four hits, one walk, and one strikeout. And that punch out was of maybe the best hitter in the Midwest League, Rubel Cespedes. Caught him looking back in the first. After that, all of his outs helped out by the defense. 2-2 Ramsey. Got him looking. Strike three. Jensen couldn't hold on to the ball. Now throws down to first and completes the K and a scoreless first inning for Ryan Ramsey. So right on cue, second strikeout of the ball game for Quad Cities. Boy, the pitching staffs have absolutely locked it down. No base runners since the third, but Quad City still trails 1-0. Top of eight next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Been 25 consecutive outs here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Another pitcher's duel, but it's the Colonels up 1-0 in the top of the eighth. Bandits bats get it lead off by Spencer Nivens, and he swings at the first pitch from Jacob Wazinski and promptly flies out to left field for the second time tonight. He has now hit the ball hard three times in his three at-bats, but has nothing to show for it. Before we can even properly welcome you back, there's an out on the board. Trevor Werner stepping in for his third time tonight, facing Wazinski, who obviously has retired four straight since taking over in the seventh. First pitch, slider down and away, ball one. Usually by this time, we will have already checked in with the rest of the Midwest League scoreboard, but this game has moved along at a cheetah's pace. 1-0. Slider a bit inside, 2-0 on Werner. He's 0 for 2 with a couple of strikeouts thus far. One game has gone final in the league, and that was a contest in Peoria that took place earlier this afternoon. 2-0 fastball outside, 3-0. West Michigan got a win over the Chiefs. Whitecaps scored four unanswered over the final two innings to beat Peoria 5-3 at Dozer Park. 3-0. Down and away, ball four. We've got ourselves a base runner. It's the first in the ballgame since the third inning, and Quad City's first since the first. Four straight out of the zone for Wazinski. That looks about as foreign as an alien invasion right now. He'll now face Jared Dickey, the left-handed hitting right fielder. Throw to first base. Werner leading. Tag close, but he is safe. Oh, my goodness. Keone Cavaco. Put the mitt down on Werner's noggin. The first base runner for the Bandits since the first was almost just erased. Now the pitch to Dickey. Fastballs at the knees for strike one. Jared's six-game on-base streak in jeopardy. The former Volunteer hits .240 this year with 5 homers and 18 driven in. That RBI mark tied for the second highest on the team. 0-1. Swing and a miss. A changeup off the lower outside corner. Nothing at 2. Quad Cities this year has grounded into 14 double plays. It's bottom third of the league in the right way. 0-2. Line drive, right center field. This one is going to drop in front of Ruiz. A base hit for Quad Cities. They've got the tying run in scoring position and the go-ahead run at first base. Streak in jeopardy, no more. Streak extended to 7 straight games aboard for Jared Dickey. And now the Colonels will have their first mound visit of the game. Jonas Lovin on his way out. Well, that gives you an idea how this game's going. Heaven forbid a pitcher gives up multiple base runners. They'll send a man out. I guess that gives us some time to check in with the rest of the out-of-town scoreboard. So thanks, Jonas. Game's nearing the end. The one furthest along in Fort Wayne, where the Tin Caps have a 3-1 lead over South Bend in the bottom of the 8th inning. Over in Lansing, the Lugnuts are on top of Lake County. It's 5-3 in the bottom of 7 at Jackson Field. And in Dayton, the Beloit Skycarp lead the Dayton Dragons 6-5, bottom of 6 at Day Air Ballpark. One other score to update you on, but Dustin Dickerson's in the box, ready to go after the mound visit. First pitch, skips in the dirt. Nice pick by Baez, the catcher. Ball one. Over in Wisconsin, the Timber Rattlers are being shut out by the Beloit Skycarp. 6-0 in the top of the 7th at Fox City Stadium. Wisconsin, the best offense in the league this year, being held without a run through 7. 1-0 pitch. Slider poked in the air, but foul over the first base dugout. Nice catch made by a fan over on the right side. A little youngster gets a souvenir. Dad hauls it in, sitting comfortably in his chair, and then passes it over to Junior. 1-1 count on Dusty. Right-handed hitting shortstop in the 9th spot. He's 0-2 tonight. 1-1 slider outside. And it's another hitter's count for Quad Cities. 2-1. Werner and Dickey are both pretty quick. Trevor has stolen 5 bases successfully in 5 tries this year. But given that he is the game-tying run, highly unlikely he'll be going right here. 2-1 pitch. Fouled into the suites on the right side. Look out. That was a screamer up there. Now Dickerson in a 2-2 count. Colonels up 1-0 over Quad Cities in the top of the 8th. Lights on, sun setting on a clear, comfortable evening in Cedar Rapids. 2-2, runners take off. Swing and a miss at the plate. The throw to third base, not in time. Baez nearly completed the strike amount, throw him out. But Trevor Werner gets in with his 6th bag of the year. Quad Cities getting aggressive here, trying to spark the offense. Wazinski gets the strikeout of Dustin Dickerson. But both Dickey and Werner move up. That means the Bandits have the tying and go-ahead runs in scoring position for Jack Pineda. First pitch, slider, low and in. Again, almost got away from Baez. Well, if you needed a man right now and you had to pick somebody to get that big hit, you may pick Pineda. He's got hits in 5 straight games, but he is 0-3 tonight with 2 strikeouts. The pitch, fastball on the inner half, a called strike one. Jack has had a couple of big swings in this series. The biggest on Tuesday helped tie the game in the 4th inning with a 2-run double. 1-1. Slow roller to the first base side. Cavaco gloves, steps on the bag. Inning over. Quad Cities manufactures a good scoring opportunity with 2 outs in the 8th, but Jacob Wazinski strands both Werner and Dickey and keeps the Colonels up by a tally. 1-0. Cedar Rapids, bottom of 8 next. Ryan Ramsey back out to the hill, looking for yet another scoreless frame. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Quad City's got its first two base runners since the first inning in the last half frame. However, Jacob Wazinski strands them both in scoring position, and QC remains behind 1-0 as we start the bottom of the eighth inning. Ryan Ramsey, who pitched a clean seventh, will start the eighth against Nate Baez, the right-handed hitting catcher. First pitch swing, and he ricochets one back to the screen. Strike one. Bandits have now been held scoreless for 17 consecutive frames. Here's the 0-1. Fastball up and in. The only run of the ball game to give the Colonels their 1-0 lead came in the first, an RBI single from Jay Harry. After that, base runners have been few and far between, much less runs. Baez swings through a pitch inside and falls behind 1-2. Ramsey's strikeout of Gary Jr. to end the last inning. Just the Bandits' second of the night as this 1-2 is ripped into the bullpen. Look out, QC relievers. They're paying attention down there. Count holds. Just 6 total hits in the game, 1 total run, and 1 error. 1-2 again. Swing and a miss. Ramsey got him with a changeup. Really nice pitch that faded off the lower outside corner. And Baez is retired for the second time today. So back to the top of the order for Luke Kieschel as the Colonels try to string together an insurance run. Kieschel with one of their 4 hits, a first inning single, but he was picked off by Zoback. First pitch got away from Ramsey. Slider slipped out of his fingers, and it sailed up and away. Checking in with the Kansas City Royals farm system. They're playing a doubleheader over at Sagra Park today. Columbia Fireflies hosting Charleston, 1-0. Swing and a miss. Kieschel chased a fastball way up, 1-1. Columbia won the first game 2-1. In the second half of the twin bill, the River Dogs are actually playing as the home team. The pitch. Change up on the lower inside corner, a called strike 2. And in their game as the home team, Charleston leads Columbia 2-0 in the top of the 5th. The pitch from Ramsey. Line drive left field. That one's down and along the line. Kieschel rounding first base. Nivens up with it behind the bullpen. And he tosses it back in after a 1-out double. That's the Colonels' first hit since the 3rd inning. And for Kieschel, double number 10, tying him with Rubel Cespedes for the team lead. Got out in front of what looked like another changeup from Ramsey, but caught enough of the barrel to get it out deep enough. And that's a key insurance run for Cedar Rapids. Ricardo Olivar, the two-hole hitter, looking to at the very least move Kieschel up to third. Here's a pick play at second. They got him again! Jack Pineda teams up with Ryan Ramsey to nab the Sun Devil. And you know Brian Dinkelman is probably none too pleased with that. Keyshaw has stolen 12 bases this year, the only Colonel with double-digit steals, but he's been picked off twice today. First pitch to Olivar, a strike on the outer edge. That's now 13 picked off base runners for QC this year, the second for Ramsey. A one. Ran inside. What a mistake by Keyshaw. You've got Olivar up there who's hitting 385 in his last seven games and doubled earlier. 1-1, shanked over the right side. But same situation in the first. Keyshaw was picked off while Olivar was at the plate and Ricardo doubled off the left field wall. Would have scored him. The pitch. In the dirt. Past Jensen. Doesn't matter, no one's on. 2-2 count with two outs. Ramsey trying to get this thing into the top of the ninth inning with Quad City still down by just one. Here's the pitch. Way too high. Did not chase. Full count. Ramsey and Zoback have combined for just three strikeouts, but they've only walked one. And that was by Zoback in the first inning. Payoff pitch. Hit towards shallow right. Long run, Jared Dickey sprinting towards the bullpen. He now reaches up. He almost overran it, but he makes the catch to end the frame. Back-to-back scoreless innings from Ryan Ramsey. He continues to be as locked down as they get out of the bullpen. So Quad Cities has kept it just a one-run deficit. They will try to tie it up or take the lead in the top of the ninth to avoid being shut out for the second straight ball game and to avoid dropping what would be their fifth in a row. Wyszynski back to the hill looking for a nine-out save, and we'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Cedar Rapids' Jacob Wyszynski will look to make it 3-for-3 in save opportunities this year. He will pitch the top of the ninth here at Veterans Memorial Stadium with the Colonels leading 1-0. It's been this score since the first inning. And it's looking to spark a rally with 2-3-4 due up against the right-hander. First pitch to Carson Rockefort is inside for ball one. Colonels have gotten a lefty up in the bullpen. Should Brian Dinkelman need to replace Wyszynski? Here's the pitch. Fastball at the knees, a called strike one at 93. Rockefort, Jensen, and Squires due up. They're all lefties. Rocco with one of the Bandits' two hits. A first inning single. 1-1. Wave and a miss. Changeup off the lower outside corner. It's a nice fade to that for strike two. Wyszynski 2-for-2 in his first two save opportunities. His last back on May 2nd against Peoria. 1-2. Slider low and inside. He has not given up but one earned run in the month of May. That was 2 weeks ago against South Bend. 2-2 pitch. Fouled off the first base dugout. Rockefort stays alive. Carson, one of those guys that has sneaky pop. He's hit four homers as usually the leadoff man for QC this year. But he has struck out 41 times in 33 games. 2-2. Chopper foul into that first base bullpen. And the count holds. Of course, you'd love to get Rockefort on because he's got great speed. Really, him and Jensen. Great options in front of Brett Squires. Another 2-2. Ground ball pulled, foul again. This one touched up by Cavaco on the first base side. Rockeford almost tucked it down the chalk. Progressively squaring it up, just bit by bit. Third time's the charm here. 2-2. Got him swinging off the outer half of the plate. Strike three. Third K of the ball game for Wyszynski. Bandits down on strikes for the ninth time. And there's one down in the top of the ninth for Carter Jensen. Bandits now two outs away from being shut out for the fourth time in 36 games this season. Wyszynski deals. First pitch fastball right there. Jensen's had kind of a slow series thus far. He does not have a hit yet, but he has walked three times. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Another fastball probably off the plate outside, if not very close. Jensen takes his time out down to the count 0-2. And Wyszynski's right back on the rubber, ready to work. He sets with 10 on the pitch clock. 0-2. Popped up straight over my head and down into the bowl. That thing pinballed around the roof and the facade before crashing down into the sixth row. Another 0-2 from Wyszynski. Laced down the right field line, but it hooks foul and down the hill towards the street. Bandits did get a couple base runners against Wyszynski in the eighth. In fact, they moved the tying run up to third base, but he stranded them both. Another 0-2, another foul ball. Slider sent back to the screen. Wyszynski, the only man to work out of the bullpen for Brian Dinkelman after John Klein threw six shutout frames with six strikeouts. Another 0-2 pitch. Outside with a fastball. Jensen fouled off three straight two-strike offerings. Now looks to battle his way back as one of the most disciplined hitters in the league. 1-2. Line drive right field. This one down, and it lands rolling towards the fence. Ruiz chases onto the warning track, and Jensen pulls into second base with a double. There's your game-tying run. What a swing from Carter Jensen. He fouls off three straight after falling behind 0-2 and eventually laces one into right for his season's and team-leading ninth double. Once again, tying run in scoring position for Quad Cities, and now Brett Squires to the plate, left on right against Wyszynski. Hurler looks to second, first pitch. Good cut, but a foul back to the screen, strike one. Quad Cities has activated the bullpen again. Looks like a lefty starting to get loose. Here's the 0-1 on its way. Ground ball, foul, right into the Colonel's bullpen. And it's another 0-2 count for Wyszynski. Brett Squires, a guy who is not an easy man to strike out. Even when he does go down on strikes, it's usually after a lengthy battle. He is 0-for-3 with three fly balls tonight. 0-2 pitch. Low and inside with the slider. Carter Jensen standing at second base after Quad City's third hit of the game. A double to put the tying run in scoring position. One out. A 1-0 deficit for the Bandits in the ninth. 1-2. Low and outside, stabbed by Baez. That's his third or fourth really good catch behind the plate to save Wyszynski from a wild pitch. Colonel still have that lefty warming up in the bullpen, but there's a right-handed bat on deck in Kale Emshoff. Wyszynski's made his way through three lefties, now facing his fourth. 2-2. Low and in with the slider, and the count goes full. Jensen with his lead. Shortstop Harry keeping tabs on him. Biggest pitch of the game right here. 3-2 offering to Brett Squires. Got him swinging. Strike three. That looked like the changeup off the bottom half of the zone. Fourth strikeout for Wazinski and the second out in the ninth. Man, that was a big K. So now it all comes down to one of the most experienced hitters in the Midwest League, Cale Emshoff, the Bandits DH. 0-for-3 with a fly ball and a pair of strikeouts. Right on, right against Wazinski. First pitch to him. Popped up but foul over the right side, out of play. Strike one. Emshoff has played pretty much every other day for Quad Cities this year, but he's been effective when he's been in the lineup. 12 RBIs in 18 games. The pitch. Fastball low and away. It's 1-1. Good pitch from Wazinski, just a bit off. His pitch count quietly creeping up. He's now at 48. He's just a couple tosses away from matching his season high. The 1-1 delivery. Check swing, slider low. The appeal, he didn't go. And now a hitter's count for Emshoff, 2-1. Spencer Nivens waits on deck for Quad Cities. Carter Jensen standing at second base, representing the game-tying run. Two outs in the ninth. 2-1. Fastball, a called strike on the outer edge. And now QC is not only down to its last out, but its last strike. Wazinski trying to put the nail in what would be the Bandits' fifth straight loss in their second straight shutout defeat. Right-hander sets, fires, and misses low and outside. Knocked down by Baez. And he looks Jensen back to second base. With the way this game has gone on, every pitch in the last inning has felt like the biggest. But I think you can officially use that marker here. 3-2 count, two outs, tying run at second base. Wazinski deals. Slider, nubbed to the right side, backhand pickup Cavaco, flip to the pitcher, covering, he steps on the bag and ends the ball game. Quad Cities drops its fifth in a row as they are shut out for the second straight night in Cedar Rapids. Colonels have guaranteed themselves a split of this six-game set. They score one run in the first, and that's all they need for a 1-0 victory. Stick around for your River Bandits post-game show. We'll put the finishing touches on tonight. Check out the Midwest League scoreboard one more time and get you filled in with the rest of the Kansas City Royals farm system. The Colonels have won four straight. The Bandits have lost five straight. Tonight, 1-0 Cedar Rapids on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Post-game show coming up next. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
For the final time tonight, we welcome you back inside Veterans Memorial Stadium here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where the Colonels have handed Quad Cities their fifth consecutive loss. It's their longest losing streak of the season continuing, and they pick up their fourth straight win, including the first three victories in this six-game series. They have already guaranteed themselves a split of the set. They do it in shutout fashion. Quad Cities blanked yesterday 3-0, and tonight just 1-0. Another sub-2-hour pitcher's duel that sees the Colonels come out on top. Here's what the final line score looked like for the River Bandits. It's no runs on 3 hits, 1 error. They go 0-for-6 with men in scoring position and strand 5 men on base. For the Colonels, it's 1 run, 5 hits, no errors, 1-for-3 with men in scoring position. They strand 4. The winning pitcher in the ballgame is John Klein. The starter for Cedar Rapids was fantastic. He gives up just 1 hit and 1 walk in 6 scoreless innings. He picks up 6 strikeouts and his third victory of the season. He's now 3-0. The losing pitcher was Quad City's Steven Zoback. The Bandits had a losing pitcher in Ben Kuderna, who threw a quality start yesterday. Same goes for Zobie today. He falls to 2-2, giving up just 1 run in 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. A save out of the bullpen to Jacob Wazinski. His third save of the season took 3 innings to complete. Of course, a scoreless performance from him. He yields just 2 hits and a walk while striking out 4. Quad Cities, for the second straight night, used just 1 man out of the bullpen. Yesterday, it was A.J. Block with 2 scoreless innings. Tonight, Ryan Ramsey with 2 scoreless innings. He doesn't walk anybody, gives up just 1 hit, and strikes out 2 to lower his ERA to 2.02 on the young season. The final time of the ballgame tonight, 1 hour and 56 minutes. The exact same length as the Bandit shutout loss yesterday. Fortunately, a few less people here to see it, 1,773. There was an ejection during the ballgame. It was the River Bandits hitting coach Ryan Powers, who was thrown out by plate umpire Rafael Pineda, presumably arguing balls and strikes in the third inning. There wasn't really anything he did, or at least from what we could see up here in the booth, but clearly he said something to draw Pineda's attention over, and after Rafael gave him a warning of sorts, just seconds later, Powers responded in a way that in Rafael Pineda's eyes warranted an ejection. It's the second thrown out coaching staff member, for Quad Cities this year. The first for somebody other than Brooks Conrad. Let's give one more look at the Midwest League scoreboard. And out there, just a couple of games have gone final again. Another quick ball game here in Cedar Rapids. As we mentioned earlier, the West Michigan Whitecaps played an afternoon game against the Peoria Chiefs, and they won at Dozer Park 5-3. Whitecaps in the Eastern Division now at 17-19. Peoria falls to 13-23 at the bottom of the Midwest League West. Over in Fort Wayne, the Tin Caps got a 5-1 win over South Bend. Cubs fall to 14-22. Fort Wayne improves to 14-22. Still games going on elsewhere, including in Wisconsin, where the Timber Rattlers, the best lineup in the league, are being shut out by the Beloit Skycarp. It's 6-0 in the bottom of the eighth in Appleton. Skycarp looking for their 18th win of the season and to gain a game on the division-leading Timber Rattlers, who right now are 23-22. Over in Lansing, the Lugnuts are trying to hold on to a 5-4 lead over Lake County. They're at the ninth inning, just about to start the ninth inning at Jackson Field. And in Dayton, a lot of offense pouring out of the bats, but it's the Dragons in front 11-7 over the Loons. They're in the top of the seventh at Day Air Ballpark. As I mentioned earlier, the Columbia Fireflies, the single-A affiliate for the Royals, they're playing a doubleheader against Charleston tonight. It's at Segra Park, but in one game, Columbia the home team, in the other they're the road team. They win the game as the home team, beating Charleston 2-1 in the first half of the twin bill, but they trail 2-0 with Charleston as the home team in game two. They are in the top of the sixth there. The Royals' AA affiliate finds itself in a 1-0 ball game, but they're on the correct side of the score, currently leading Arkansas 1-0 on the road in the bottom of the seventh inning. Northwest Arkansas looking to improve to two games over 500. And over in St. Paul, where the Twins' AAA affiliate is hosting the Royals' AAA affiliate, St. Paul leads Omaha 7-3 in the top of the eighth inning. Well, the Bandits, they'll be back in action tomorrow night. Another 6:35 first pitch for game four of this six-game series. And they will turn to the number four prospect in the Royals organization and their top left-handed pitching prospect in the young southpaw, Frank Mazzucato, who is 2-1 with a 188 ERA this year. He'll be going up against a top 30 prospect in the Twins organization, the right-hander C.J. Culpepper, who does not have a record this year and has an ERA of 3.31. Quad Cities faced Culpepper a couple of times last year. One outing, not good. One outing, very good. And again, we get ourselves another marquee pitching matchup tomorrow night. Again, game four of this six-game series, 6:35 here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Your River Bandits pregame show underway at 6:25 on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Well, that'll do it for tonight's broadcast. The sun still not completely set. Still twilight skies here in eastern Iowa, but nothing but twilight for Quad Cities offensively. They've been shut out now over 18 straight innings. They lost yesterday 3-0, and they fall tonight 1-0 despite a really good pitching performance from Steven Zoback and Ryan Ramsey. They'll look to get their first win in Cedar Rapids this season tomorrow. 6:35, your first pitch. Hope to see you then on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Until tomorrow night, so long and good night from Cedar Rapids.